It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me this morning on what is the last Sunday morning of September, which means that across much of America, next Sunday, Saturday morning, waterfowl seasons will be opening in a number of states, and I actually will have the pleasure of being in Utah when that happens, and I'll give you a report next Sunday morning about it. But as many of you know, with the restrictions on going to Canada, this could be a very different year for the migratory patterns of birds, and we'll talk more about that as the fall goes on. But one of the things I'm going to start off with this morning is something that from time to time draws my ire, and I know it draws yours, and that is Illinois' wonderful, and I say that sarcastically, firearms owner's identification card, the FOID card as it's known, which is issued by the Illinois State Police. And we are one of the only states in the country that have such a card. The card's required to be in the possession of anybody who actually is in possession of a firearm. And it was designed years ago to try to reduce crime in the state of Illinois, particularly the city of Chicago. And I won't make comment on that, but I think we know how that's gone. But what it has done is it has made criminals out of thousands of law-abiding citizens who have firearms for sporting purposes or for self-defense purposes, and their firearms owner's identification card expires, or if you are a new resident of Illinois and you need to get a FOID card, or as has happened this year to literally thousands of people who have gone out and purchased firearms, many of them sporting firearms, they need to get a FOID card, and they can't get one for 5, 6, and 7 months. So often on the air, I talk about how unfair this card is, the requirement, and how it's a tax on, frankly, sportsmen and women in the state of Illinois. But we've never had a situation where you had to wait up to half a year or more to get your firearms owner's identification card. And as we are about to open the bird seasons in Illinois, we've already had the teal season, we're in the middle of the dove season, although it's winding down. If you do not have this card, you can't legally go hunting in the state of Illinois. And thanks to Governor George Ryan, you are a felon if you are possession of a firearm in Illinois without a FOID card. There are thousands of people who are waiting to get their FOID card renewed who don't have it, who plan to go hunting this fall. And they're going to go hunting anyway. I don't think you're going to tell many pheasant hunters or deer hunters or duck hunters that you can't go hunting just because the state of Illinois is so backed up on processing FOID card applications. People are going to go. Let's hope we have lenient judges. Moreover, let's hope we actually have game wardens who realize how absurd this law is and don't write up tickets when they check people for their hunting licenses or for their game, because the first thing they ask is, let me see your license, and the second thing they ask is, let me see your FOID card. You cannot hunt in Illinois or possess a firearm in Illinois unless you have a valid FOID card. The fact that it's expired and that you have applied for a new one does not give you a pass. Or worse, as has happened to several friends of mine who have moved to the state of Illinois as a result of COVID from their other environments, they have applied for a FOID card and they can't get it, and they're not going to get it till 2021. So we have a really serious problem here in Illinois, and I very much doubt that Governor Pritzker cares about the fact that there are going to be several thousand people who are going to go hunting this fall who have not been able to get their FOID card processed. But it's one of the things that the state, if it was actually cared about the sporting interests in the state of Illinois and the role that sportsmen and women play in the state and the revenues we provide and the habitat we provide and the jobs we provide, that they would actually say, wait a minute, in this era of COVID, everything else is being delayed. We know the FOID cards are being delayed. We need a mechanism which says if you've applied for a FOID card and you are hunting and it hasn't been returned to you yet, you don't have your new card, you're still able to go hunting or you're able to go to trap and skeet range. That would be something the state legislature needs to act on and needs to act on very quickly. I think most of you know, I say this with a certain degree of skepticism, I doubt this even gets the first hearing. In fact, I doubt anyone even introduces a bill or an administrative order or whatever it might take to have this addressed. Rather, we're going to go through this fall, and it's going to be suddenly thousands of people are going to be felons, according to the state of Illinois, because they can't get their FOID card, and it's just wrong. And I and many of us have advocated in the outdoor community for years that the FOID card should not apply to people who are hunting or at trap and skeet ranges. That's not what it was designed for, but we have never gotten any traction on that, and I doubt we get traction now. So that's what's happening in Illinois. Something else that's happening in Illinois and a lot of other states, which I don't think many people are that aware of yet, so I'm not going to say you heard it first here, but from a conservation point of view and from supporting natural resource philanthropy, this is going to have a colossal toll. And it is the number of people who are fleeing the state of Illinois because of Illinois' high taxes or the fact that the business climate is not as good as it once was. When individuals leave the state of Illinois, particularly individuals who have been engaged in philanthropy in the state of Illinois, when they leave, they take their philanthropy with them. Because under the absurd way the state of Illinois looks at individuals who have become non-residents, they expect non-residents to not support charities in the state of Illinois, because if they did, then they would say that, you, well, actually, you still have interest in Illinois, so we're not going to let you become a non-resident. It's a very complicated issue, and I've just vastly oversimplified it. But what is going to happen in Illinois, and it's already happened, is that the support for philanthropy for conservation in Illinois is plummeting. And it's plummeting because individuals are pouring out of this state and they're taking their giving with them. It's incredibly sad. I don't think Governor Pritzker is really aware of it. I know his predecessor was. Governor Rauner very much was concerned about the loss of philanthropy in Illinois as individuals left the state. But if this tax situation in November changes and we get rid of the flat tax, and we move to this progressive tax, things like the Illinois Conservation Foundation and all the charities in the state of Illinois, whether it be Ducks Unlimited, Delta Waterfowl, Nature Conservancy, Illinois Conservation Foundation, the Wetlands Initiative, all these wonderful organizations are going to really take it on the chin. And that's really sad, because without conservation interests in Illinois, without people funding conservation interests in Illinois, we don't have conservation. And the philanthropic world that has so well supported open lands, whether it be Chicago Open Lands, Lake Forest Open Lands, Ducks Unlimited, Nature Conservancy, Rough Grouse Society, you name it, the entire gamut, Wetlands Initiative, all these terrific organizations that work so hard to preserve habitat in the state of Illinois, Pheasants Forever and others, they're all going to see a decline in donations. And that is the consequence of people leaving a state. And that is will be the consequence, and it's not a political statement, and I want to underscore this. That is the consequence of what will happen if the flat tax does not remain in Illinois and we end up with the progressive income tax. Just watch philanthropy in Illinois go downhill and watch the support for conservation organizations and for wildlife and habitat management in Illinois go straight downhill because the financial resources are not going to be there as people continue to flee this state. And that is really sad, and let's hope it doesn't happen. I'll be back in a couple moments with much more on the Great Outdoors Show. And when I do, I'm going to talk about the government's great, and I say that sarcastically, R3 program. I'll tell you what that is in just a moment. In the meantime, thank you very much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. I hope you're enjoying the show, and if you're just joining me, you'll have to go to our podcast to hear about what I talked about in the first segment of the show. You won't want to miss, I don't think, the discussion of our wonderful Foyd card and also the fleeing of philanthropic dollars in the state of Illinois as a result of the possible looming change in our tax code. I'm now going to switch to something which I guess this is kind of the morning when it's not that I'm in a bad mood, I'm in a great mood. Hunting seasons are opening up, fishing is good, a lot of time in the outdoors. I'm in a great mood. But it strikes me that we continue to have absolutely nonsensical or ill-thought-out programs foisted upon us, those of us who love to hunt and fish and practice conservation and love the outdoors. This one, R3, the brainchild of a number of people at the Fish and Wildlife Service and other places that are so concerned about the decline in hunters occurring across America. R3 stands for recruit, retain, and reactivate. The very fact that you have to explain what an acronym stands for means it's probably not a very good acronym. R3 is now being embraced by all the states in the country, naturally, and it's being embraced by conservation organizations, which is a bit surprising. The states are embracing R3, this notion that we need to recruit, retain, and reactivate hunters, because states depend on hunting licenses for a large part of their revenues that fund natural resource management. So if there are fewer individuals hunting and buying licenses, states are going to get less revenue, and they're very concerned about that. Conservation organizations, Ducks Unlimited, Delta Waterfowl, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, so many others, also feel that if there are fewer hunters, there'll be fewer people contributing to their organizations, and so they're concerned about it. I asked this morning, as I have previously, but really now that this R3 program is suddenly available to have Pittman Robertson funds used to promote the future of hunting, whereas Pittman Robertson funds, which are the tax on the sale of firearms and ammunition, prior to relatively recently could only be used for habitat acquisition and habitat management. Now they can be used for communications. That's a big, deep, dark hole in which we're going to flush a lot of money down without seeing any kinds of results. And I've spoken out strongly, as have a number of people in the conservation industry, that the Pittman Robertson funds should not be used for purposes different than which they were intentioned. But they're going to be used for this R3 program, this recruit, retain, and reactivate hunters, which I will predict to you, listening this morning, will be an abysmal failure. We don't understand really why we are losing hunters at the pace we are. And until we understand that, it's pretty hard to figure out how we're going to recruit new hunters or reactivate hunters that have lapsed. In its inevitable fashion, the states are chasing dollars instead of trying to figure out, as is the Fish and Wildlife Service, instead of trying to figure out the root cause. I would offer that part of the reason we are losing hunters is because there aren't that many things to hunt. And in many states across America, hunting is limited to tag systems and draws. So the opportunity is actually restricted. You can't have more hunters in a state like Montana, big game hunters, when there are only so many permits that are going to be issued annually. So the idea that we want to have more people applying for a limited number of permits does not make a lot of sense. And if you are interested in increasing the number of waterfowl hunters, let's say, is there really going to be a desire on the point of view of waterfowl hunters, existing waterfowl hunters, to have a lot more waterfowl hunters come into the field? What are they going to shoot? Where are they going to go? Pheasant hunters in Illinois we used to shoot 10 times the number of pheasant in Illinois that we do now. It's not because people didn't want to hunt pheasants that the numbers have gone down. It's because we don't have any pheasants. The same is true for quail. We used to shoot well over 1,200,000 quail in the state of Illinois on an annual basis. Now I think the number is about 200,000 or thereabouts. So it's the opportunity. And you can't recruit new hunters if they don't have anything to hunt. We also don't really understand the societal implications of hunting. And so I would offer that before we go and spend a lot of money in this R3 program, we really understand what the limiting factors to hunting are. And it's probably much more important to understand how hunters are perceived by society and how hunters can be perceived well by society instead of trying to recruit a lot of people to come hunting when there's a question of where are they going to go and what are they going to hunt, and not just in Illinois, but across America. Deer hunting and turkey hunting in Illinois are probably the only two species that can stand more hunting pressure. Other than that, we probably are making a mistake in trying to recruit more hunters in Illinois and across America. It actually, for big game, is off the table in most places. So the R3 program, you're going to hear a lot about it. And I think when you do, please be at least a skeptic to ask, is this simply a program for the states to try to feather their own nests fiscally, or is it a program that's actually going to help advance conservation in America? Because that should always be the first and central question. I thank you very much for listening. I hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the great outdoors and conservation issues across America. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.